The translation of this verse of the Holy Quran is, "And when my servants ask thee about me, say, I am near. I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me. So they should hearken to me and believe in me, that they may follow the right way." The month of Ramadan came upon us, and 20 days have already passed. And we did not even realize how rapidly these 20 days passed through. It was as if they zoomed through. Now the last 10 days of Ramadan is commencing. I receive many letters. In these letters, people request prayers to gain blessings and benefit from the month of Ramadan. Sometimes people come to meet me and ask with relation to this. Most certainly a mu'min, that is a believer, should hold this concern. That how can we derive maximum benefit as much as possible from the month of Ramadan? If an Ahmadi does not hold this concern, then the whole purpose for accepting the promised Messiah alayhi salam is completely defeated. It was to bring about a revolution within us that the promised Messiah alayhi salam came. It was such a revolution that would bring man near to God. A revolution that would channel our thoughts and considerations to such a path that we must establish a strong connection with God Almighty, which would draw our attention to the point that we must strengthen our faith, and alongside this strengthening of the faith, we must establish the highest standards. This would draw our attention to the fact that alongside improvement in our spiritual state, we must give attention towards the discharging of Hakukul Abad, the rights due to people. That this would divert our attention at all times to this particular point. That in order to bring about pious changes within our state, we must always analyze and scrutinize our own selves. And this revolution would draw our attention that in order to achieve all these aforementioned aspects, what methods and what ways do we need to adopt? When all these points are in view, then we can say in the true sense that we have come to fulfill the right of accepting the promised Messiah and Imam of this age. It is a great favor of Allah the Supreme upon us that from time to time, through different methods and different means, He provides opportunities and occasions to draw our attention towards ascertaining these virtues and pieties that He has extolled and expounded. Some of these I have mentioned. Among such occasions provided by Allah the Almighty, Ramadan al-Mubarak, the blessed month of Ramadan, is an extremely important, great and blessed occasion. Therefore, undoubtedly, this is a great fortune upon us, that during the month of Ramadan, in order to bring about pious changes within ourselves, we should hold a yearning and keen desire. And in order for that to materialize, we should put in our level best efforts. However, our efforts and endeavors will only be fruitful and beneficial at that point when we adopt those ways and those means that Allah the Almighty has taught us. Based on our own will or through our own means and through our own ways, we cannot benefit from Ramadan. As I said also in a previous khutbah, that is a Friday sermon, that by just fasting, or by just relying on the outward form of the prayer, one cannot gain nearness to God. Although, undoubtedly, these outward forms, these postures and movements of the prayers are necessary. Eating the sehri and eating the iftari are also essential, and undoubtedly, without acting upon these, one cannot obtain nearness to God. For, after all, it is Allah the Supreme who taught us to act upon this and to follow these movements and postures, etc. Undoubtedly, the outward form of the prayers, the apparent actions are all part of the obligations. One who does not implement them is denying the commands of God. Without a doubt, such people are wrong who say the following: that by just sitting in gatherings where they remember Allah the Almighty, or by just repeating certain words and statements, one can achieve nearness to God, or the rite of servitude is accomplished, or one comes to achieve the purpose of worship. No. Undoubtedly and most certainly, to achieve all of this, we must carry out all those actions and acts that were established by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah, that is his practice, and which he inculcated his ummah, that is a Muslim community, to act upon in the prescribed method. However, alongside these apparent actions and postures, we must also, within the state of our hearts, bring about a pious reformation and changes, and establish the highest standards of this. This has also been commanded, and this is a most extremely important injunction. Thus, in order to achieve this, we need to make efforts. In order to achieve this, we need to produce a yearning and keen desire within us. In the verse of the Holy Quran I recited, Allah the Almighty has taught us the method of obtaining His love. Allah the Supreme has indicated towards that lofty station, which when a person reaches, he becomes a true mu'min, that is, a true believer, and he also becomes one who obtains nearness to God. He acquires real beneficence and blessings from Ramadan. If you ponder and reflect on this verse of the Holy Quran, then where on the one hand, it clearly expresses the love that Allah the Almighty has for His servants. And it sheds further light upon that hadith in which Allah the Exalted states that a person who comes near to me a fathom, I come to him nearer even further. If he comes near to me one hand's length, I draw near to him two hands' length. And when he walks towards me, I run towards him. Thus, this is how Allah the Almighty loves His servants. Such servants who in the true sense fulfill the rite of the servitude of Allah the Almighty and make efforts to do so. such people who desire to be amongst those who are classified as people of God. Therefore, as I stated, on the one hand, this verse expresses the love of Allah the Almighty. In particular, this is deciphered from the word ibadi, that is, when Allah says, my servants. So in this expression of love, this also informs us that Allah the Almighty does not give this answer to the question of every single person. Allah does not answer that I am near to every person. Such people who leave aside walking to Allah the Almighty, which is a distant thing, they do not even come near a hand's length to Allah the Almighty. Such people are not in the category of ibadi, that is, my servants. Allah the Almighty has not addressed all peoples. He has not used the word bashar, that is, a human person. In fact, Allah the Almighty addresses that abd, that servant of his, who constantly pay heed towards discharging the right of being an abd, that is, a servant of God. For this, they also put in efforts. How can the right of being an abd, a servant of God, be fulfilled? For this, we would need to look upon this command of Allah the Almighty, in which He has drawn our attention to keeping in view the purpose of our creation. God the Exalted has said, my servants are those who recognize the purpose of their creation. Further, they not only identify with the purpose of their creation, but in addition, in order to achieve it, they strive their level best day and night. Thus, Allah the Almighty states, my servants are those who give attention towards this, regarding which there is a commandment, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have only created the men and the jinn that they worship me. The standard that Allah the Supreme has set for becoming His abad, that is, His servant, has been linked with elevating the rank of one's worship. God the Almighty has not stated that only remember the purpose of your creation during Ramadan, and in normal days, you can forget this. In fact, what is said is that a true abd, that is, a true servant, keeps in view this purpose of creation at all times. Or every such person should keep this in view who wants to become a true abd, that is, a true servant of God. When one advances in spirituality due to the blessings of fasting in Ramadan, and as Allah the Almighty states, when one makes greater efforts than before to obtain my nearness, it is then that Allah the Almighty says that tell those who ask about me that during the month of Ramadan I come even closer to them. As I also mentioned in the hadith earlier, that the doors of paradise are opened. Those who gave heed towards this previously as well, Allah the Almighty says with regards to them, that is, they become my abd, they become my servants, inform them that during these days especially, I come near to my servants. Thus, Allah the Almighty, who is near to His servants, in fact, who is always nearer than even the jugular vein. To those who strive to discharge the right of servitude, even in normal days, to those who wake up for the tahajjud prayer at night, Allah the Almighty descends to the lower heavens for them. And in Ramadan, Allah the Almighty's mercy, grace and compassion increases manifold. Therefore, fortunate will be such people who derive maximum benefit from this. Pledge, therefore, that the efforts that you have made during Ramadan to become an abd, a servant of Allah the Almighty, or those endeavors that you are still making, due to fasting, your attention has been drawn towards nawafil, the optional prayers in the morning. Your attention has been drawn towards the tahajjud prayers. You have made efforts to observe the manifestation of the nearness of Allah the Almighty, or you have witnessed these manifestations in these days. Your attention has been drawn towards regularity in prayers. Your attention has been drawn towards reading and understanding the Holy Quran. Your attention has been drawn towards sitting in the dars and listening to it. You should therefore continue this thereafter. Allah the Supreme, who knows the state of the heart of His servants, states to His beloved Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that say to such servants that ask of me with this pledge that they will continue this effort to discharge a right of servitude. Then say to them that not only in Ramadan, but at all times I am near to you. And I will always remain so. If you only give attention towards this purpose temporarily, then your life is useless. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, the reason why man has been created by Allah the Almighty is that he gains perception, insight and nearness to God. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He who does not keep in view this real objective and spends his day and night immersed in worldly and materialistic concerns, that I should purchase such and such land, I should construct such and such house, I should capture such and such property and possessions, then such a person, except for the fact that Allah the Almighty gives him some respite temporarily and then calls him back, how else would he be treated? The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that there should be an anguish and yearning for the nearness of Allah the Almighty within the heart of a person. If this anguish is not found in a person, and he only yearns for this world and all the materialistic endeavors, then after just brief respite, ultimately he will die. Here, this also does not mean that worldly jobs should not be carried out. In one place, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that he who possesses land and does not work hard upon it, he who is in work and does not strive hard, is not fulfilling the right of it. Thus, worldly work, worldly jobs should be carried out, but alongside that, there should be attention towards Allah the Almighty. And one should never forget the purpose of his creation, which has been assigned by God the Supreme for man. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said there should be a deep anguish and yearning to obtain the nearness to God Almighty. Thus, as the promised Messiah alayhi salam has explained, in order to recognize the purpose of creation, it is necessary to acquire knowledge and perception and nearness of God. This nearness to God is achieved at that point when a person has deep yearning and anguish within to acquire nearness to God. Effort should be made in this regard. Allah the Exalted states, O my servants who possess this yearning and anguish to acquire my nearness, your deep desire will take the shape of a practical act and will materialize at that point. When your faith progresses stage upon stage of advancement, when you hearken and respond to my every call, or at least with a pious endeavor you make efforts to respond and obey to my every injunction. In order to become an abd, the servant of God, alongside worship, it is also necessary to act upon all the other injunctions. Man is weak. Due to human limitations, ups and downs occur. However, he should immediately realize these ups and downs. When a person realizes his shortcomings and weaknesses in any particular aspect, he should also strive to overcome that. He should give attention towards repentance and seeking forgiveness, and thus make every effort to try and dispel those weaknesses immediately. It should not be the case that one gives his attention towards performing virtues during Ramadan. Then, the entire year, he is engrossed in worldly desires and materialistic endeavors, and he forgets the actual purpose of his creation. He assumes that when the next Ramadan arrives, I will then again strive to become an abd, a servant of God. And I will then strive to discharge the duties of Hakukullah and Hakukul-Abad, the rights due to God and to man. Alongside the command of fasting, Allah the Almighty has placed the injunction that you must respond to my commands, and you must strengthen your faith. It should not be the case that you think that you will only make efforts when the next Ramadan arrives. If you pay heed to this matter, that up until the coming of the next Ramadan, we must keep up all the virtuous acts we have performed in this Ramadan. It is only then that you will gain the real benefit. Otherwise, it will be useless to just perform the virtues in Ramadan and then consider that I will continue this only when the next Ramadan arrives. If we think in this way, we would not have truly made efforts to acquire our purpose. We would not be counted amongst those virtuous people who Allah the Almighty has addressed as abd, his servants. Therefore, the process of becoming an abd, the servant of God, is not something of just a few days or a few months. In order to become an abd, a servant of God, there is a need to make constant and everlasting efforts. Because during Ramadan, a believer gives greater heed towards this. This is why, especially alongside fasting, our attention has been drawn towards this, that where you are now focusing to a greater degree upon reformation, you should continuously progress in this way. And how can you progress in this manner? How can a person become a true abd or a servant of God? How can one strive to achieve the purpose of their creation? Regarding this, Allah the Exalted has explained, Sibqatullahi wa man ahsana minallahi sibqatan wa nahnu lahu abidun. That embed the hue of Allah the Almighty. Who can be better in this respect than Allah the Almighty? And we are those who worship Him. So thus, in order to achieve the purpose of creation, it is necessary to adopt the hue and the attributes of Allah the Almighty, and one must make efforts in this way. It is then that a person can become a real abd, a servant of God. We observe in worldly relations, leaving aside love relationships or blood relations, even in relationships of master and servant, the servant strives to impose the likes and dislikes of his master upon himself. At times, show, pretense, and falsehood emerge, and most certainly there is no real benefit. As is the well-known story, and there are many things involved in this. There was a courtier of a master. Somebody gifted the master with an aubergine, and somebody greatly praised this. Thereafter, this was all that the master would eat on a daily basis. Thus the servant praised this so much that was beyond exaggeration and all limits. When the master started eating only this upon every mealtime, he became ill. When the master started cursing and disliking this, the servant did exactly the same. The master then asked that, first you were praising this, now you are cursing this. The servant replied that, I am your servant, not the servant of these aubergines. So through this, the true color and attributes do not impose. The servant tried to adopt the attributes and qualities of his master to no avail. But Allah the Almighty's color and attributes are of the type that when a person adopts them, he caters and facilitates for his life in this world and hereafter. Allah the Almighty, who is the master of the heavens and the earth, when one immerses him and drowns himself in Allah the Almighty's color, he will cater for his life in this world and the next world. When a person adopts the attributes of God the Exalted, a person obtains nearness to God the Almighty. It is this very color and quality that a believer adopts upon himself. It is then that he achieves the real purpose of his creation. Thus, a person should strive and endeavor to reflect and adopt the attributes of Allah the Almighty. A person should strive to perform those acts and those virtues that are liked by Allah the Almighty, and a person should refrain and shun those things that are displeased by God. Subsequently, a person in the true sense becomes an abd, a servant of God. When Allah the Almighty states that strive to adopt the qualities and the color of God, strive to reflect the qualities and attributes of God, this actually means that Allah the Almighty has granted this capability and quality to man that he can adopt these attributes. Within his own circle, man can then demonstrate and display those qualities. Within a person's circle, a person can adopt the attribute of Malikiyat, the attribute of Rahmaniyat, of grace, of Rahimiyat, of mercy and compassion and generosity. He can adopt the attribute of Rububiyat. He can adopt the attribute of Sattar, covering up others' mistakes. He can also adopt the attribute of Wahhab, giving everything. In fact, even in a normal person's life, he is displaying and demonstrating at times some of these qualities. There are many people who do display these attributes. However, they do not do so with the intention to immerse himself in the hue and attributes of God. On the other hand, a true mu'min, a true believer, who desires the love and pleasure of God, his hallmark is as follows, that he demonstrates these qualities and attributes for only the reason that he should try to attract the love of God. He does so because in order to acquire the pleasure of God, he knows it is necessary to display these qualities. To save mankind from vices, he displays these attributes. In order to achieve the purpose of creation, it is essential to adopt these qualities and demonstrate them. Therefore, to adopt these qualities and to demonstrate them subsequently become a source of blessings. A person becomes one who attracts the love of God. After this commandment that adopt the qualities and attributes of God, Allah the Almighty states, O believers, O my servants, also proclaim and announce that Nahnu lahu abidun, that we are those who worship Him. To adopt the attributes of Allah, to acquire His qualities, are for the reason that we are His abd, we are His servants. And we desire His pleasure. For us, the most valuable thing is servitude to Him, and we are those who worship Him. We are people who lead our lives in accordance with His commands, and this is our desire. And thus, we are not to lead our lives in this manner for only 1 month in accordance with His commands. Rather, every single moment of our time will be led in accordance with His commands. Thus, we need to reflect and ponder that we need to bring about pious reformation within ourselves and pass through this Ramadan, inshallah, God willing. We need to reflect upon the attributes of God and pass through this month of Ramadan. We need to adopt the attributes of God and pass through this month of Ramadan. And then, striving to fulfill the rite of the worship of God, we need to pass through this Ramadan. Subsequently, we need to pledge to continue acting in this way until the next Ramadan and endeavor in this way. When all of this materializes, it is then that we will receive the good tiding of Fa'inni Kari, when Allah says, I am near. And Allah's statement of Ajibu Da'wat Ad-Da'i Idha Da'an, that I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me, we will also witness this. So therefore, in order to achieve this station, we would need to make efforts and we would also need to supplicate. However, the focal point of our prayers should not be only our worldly desires. Rather, we also need to strive to adopt the attributes of God upon ourselves. Give heed towards the discharging of Hakukul Abad, the rights due to people. We also need to give attention towards performing those virtues which Allah the Almighty has commanded us to perform. When Allah the Almighty states, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, that they should hearken to me. They should respond to me, they should obey to me. In this way, the attention of a believer has been drawn towards the commands of God. Allah the Almighty has inculcated that a believer should understand his or her responsibilities. It is then that they can be a true mu'min, a true believer. At this time, with this reference, I would like to say also a few things. With regards to the moral responsibilities and the responsibilities of the rights due to others that Allah the Almighty has placed, what are they? For example, Allah the Almighty states, تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَوْنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكِرِ. Only those are true servants of God who enjoin others to goodness and forbid others from evil. It is evident that only those will be such who implement this, who themselves act in a virtuous way and safeguard themselves from performing bad deeds. Thus, when there is a true effort to become a real believer, there is also attention automatically produced towards self-evaluation. The fact of the matter is that keeping a close eye upon self-evaluation and self-scrutiny keeps a person's attention focused upon adopting and demonstrating and displaying the attributes of God. So therefore, a great responsibility has been placed upon mu'mins, that is, believers, that you have to carry out these acts. When in Ramadan, the fear of Allah is within the heart to a greater degree than other months. At times, during this month, a person also carries out a self-scrutiny. When a person gives attention towards the fact that what the standard has been set for a true believer, for a true Muslim, for a true person who prays to become a servant of God, it is then that attention is constantly engaged towards pious reformation. Always keep this injunction of Allah the Almighty in view. That in accordance with Allah the Almighty, to claim to do something which you do not do is a great sin. Therefore, it is essential for us to carry out a self-analysis within these days. In particular, I also say to office holders at every level and even those of auxiliary organizations and the central or markazi level, that carry out a self-analysis and self-scrutiny. There is also a need for Waqfi and Zindagi life devotees to carry out a self-analysis, and also Ahmadis generally. That when we advise and counsel others, that advice should also manifest in our own lives. If it is the duty of an ordinary Muslim and an ordinary believer, and he has been created for this very purpose to spread goodness and to forbid evil, then those people have been specifically appointed for this task. It is their responsibility most of all. This duty can only be fulfilled at that point, when our intention is pure and clean. When ourselves, we make maximum efforts to implement all the commands of God. If the standard of worship of office elders have only improved during the month of Ramadan, and in ordinary days there is no improvement, then that will also be a disparity between word and deed. This is also something that is greatly disliked by Allah the Almighty. Often in various meetings, I draw the attention of office elders that if office elders at every level in every organization simply improve the standard of their worship, and they start coming to the mosques, then the attendance at the mosque can improve 2 or 3 times more than the current attendance. Thus, there is a great need to give attention towards this. Then there are also other kamals, it is also essential to give heed towards them. Many problems and issues can be solved on their own through this. Similarly, it is also essential, as I said, to implement the other injunctions of God. There is another command of the Holy Quran that you should establish justice in such a manner that even if you have to bear witness against yourself, against your beloved parents, against your loved and near ones, then you should do so. If we analyze and assess, then we generally do not find this standard being lived up to. Thus, on the one hand, we supplicate for the manifestation of the acceptance of prayers. We hold the desire to be counted amongst the people of God. Yet at the time of testimony, we try to find ways that how can we spare our relatives and near ones from being deemed criminals or wrongdoers. In fact, even at times, people try to spare their relatives and have other people accused. At times, people even complain about office holders, those who write, that you drew attention that such and such office holder, there is a complaint about him. Or sometimes, at the occasion of the Jalsa, I indicate towards certain shortcomings and weaknesses. So, instead of that office holder or those office holders, or the concerned department trying to reform and improve themselves, they instead start investigating that who made this complaint. Whereas this is not their objective, what should have actually happened is that they should not have focused upon who actually made the complaint, because this has no link with you. If these shortcomings actually exist, you should strive to abate them. And if these shortcomings do not occur, you should say istighfar, you should seek forgiveness from God to be saved from punishment of those sins you have not performed. Then a real report should be sent of the actual facts. After that, it is my responsibility of how to reply to the person who's making the complaint. If somebody makes a complaint without putting their name upon it, then that is not given any importance and that is not given heed to. In any case, the pledge and the trust of office holders and fulfilling them demands of the office holders that these responsibilities that have been placed upon them by God should be fulfilled properly. Similarly, it is the demand and the requirement of true testimony that one should give heed towards reformation. Rather than one investigates towards the honest person who makes the complaint. If I desire to inform who made the complaint, then I shall do so, and many times I do. But it has come to light that sometimes, in such a predicament, others try to make life difficult for the one who made the complaint. So thus, this is also something far removed from righteousness. This is also not proper discharging and fulfillment of your trusts and responsibilities. This is not proper implementation of the commands of God. So therefore, if you want to establish a connection with Allah the Almighty, then in every matter, at every level, you would need to strive to lead your lives in accordance with the injunctions of Allah the Supreme. This is not limited to only the office holders. Every single Ahmadi also should give attention towards this, that in order to become an abd, a servant of God the Supreme, we need to strive to adopt all the commands of Allah. We need to strive to perfect and complete our faith. We need to create humility within ourselves. And we need to shatter the idols of arrogance and pride within. We need to establish the highest standards of honesty and truthfulness. We need to adopt the habit of forgiveness. We need to safeguard ourselves from backbiting. We need to strive to fulfill the trusts. We need to establish justice. And not only should we establish justice, but more so we should be compassionate and kind. And then reach the level of ita'iz al-qurba. That is, you should adopt the spirit of being kind and doing service to others without wanting anything in return. You should act in a good way and should act in a compassionate way with those you meet, in your environment and with your neighbors. For this also is an extremely important teaching of Islam and the Holy Quran. The definition of a neighbor that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has explained, and the wide scope that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has set for the definition of a neighbor. If we give this same wide scope to this neighbor, then all the mutual enmities and grudges will be removed. This scope is not just for the neighboring house, for a few hundred houses, but this even extends beyond borders and countries. Attention will then be drawn towards fulfilling the rights of others. We will be saved from picking faults of others. The habit of backbiting will also be extinguished. Because this is also such a great vice that Allah the Almighty has described this as similar as eating the flesh of your dead brother. So therefore, how obnoxious and abhorrent is backbiting? However, there are many amongst us who without thought or consideration continue backbiting. When we are reminded about this, we say that these faults are found in this person. Some people sitting in gatherings, sitting in homes, backbite about office holders, and they display their mistakes and faults. These things are also backbiting. Yet such people state that these bad qualities are actually found in those people we are backbiting about. We are not lying. However, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that if these shortcomings and faults are found in a person or your brother, and you pick out these faults behind his back, then this is backbiting. If these faults are not in that person, then this is an allegation. So therefore, it is also our responsibility and duty to safeguard ourselves from these vices and to adopt goodness. It is only then that we can be counted amongst those people who enjoin good and forbid evil. Thus, we should always remember the fact that to hearken and respond to the commands of Allah the Almighty will at that point be in the true sense, when we adopt all types of the commands of Allah the Almighty upon ourselves. First of all, we would reform ourselves. It is then that we will reform mankind. This is our task. It is then that we will truly live up to the statement of Allah that believe in me. Otherwise, our faith would not be complete and perfect. After saying, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, Allah the Almighty says, وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. That after he says, hearken to me, he says, believe in me. He has drawn our attention in this way, that acting upon all the commands of God and all high moral standards are included within the faith to make it complete and perfect, and will perfect your servitude. Thus, it behoves of us that we should strive fully to implement the commands of God. In these last days of Ramadan, pledge that we will try our level best to elevate our moral and spiritual state to the loftiest standards. Thereafter, we must remain established upon this, inshallah, God willing. Those blessings that we have witnessed during this Ramadan, you must make efforts to maintain that for all times. We must make efforts to attain the love of God, and we must continuously endeavor in this way. In this blessed month of Ramadan, according to the command of God, we must make efforts to become a true abd, the servant of God. Make these efforts in these remaining few days. After Ramadan, we must continue this effort to obtain nearness to God. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to achieve this.